this week I heard about a church I'm beginning to connect with in Hertfordshire. They've been reaching out and praying for someone in a nearby town who has been like the most notorious drug dealer over the years, and he's just been released from prison. And on Wednesday night, he gave his life to Jesus. And it is going to be a walk of recovery. And in fact, I've just had a message through this morning saying he's in a challenge at the moment. But God's hand, God healed him, I think it was the last Sunday. And then he came to the group on Wednesday night and gave his life to Jesus as that first step. And, you know, things change. God's involved and he is at work. And to be part of that is so, so exciting. Now we know that we've got our Bibles, either on a tablet or on a hard form, turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 27. And Jesus was talking about the relationship that he wants to have with you and wants to have with me. And he says, he said this. Ooh, this is interesting. Ah. Ho ho. My reference doesn't seem right. Where is the point where we want to be? Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now I've got my reference, that's John 10, 27, but is it? Oh no, and so I here find myself in the book of Luke. I would like to lead us to the book of John. Didn't sleep well last night. I'm just like, should we go there again? John chapter 10 and verse 27. I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work that I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe in me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. And I love the two things there. The qualification has a really low bar. All you have to be is a sheep. And thank you. And the two things that flow out of that relationship are two things. Well, out of that thing that my sheep hear my voice is, one, he says, I know them, and secondly, that they follow me. They're the two characteristics of being a sheep, a follower, a believer in Jesus. And God said, and hearing God comes out of friendship. And I think that's what we're learning through the whole series. This isn't about some disconnected spiritual kind of thing where suddenly we burst out in something. This flows out, the gifts of the Spirit flow out of a genuine, real, living relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to be learning about this morning. So last week, in the book we're tracking, you were touching on chapter 8. Today we're going to be tracking back a little bit to chapter 7, just a bit of connection there. And what triggers us out, Jesus says, that comes out of this friendship, it triggers obedience. It triggers a sense of followership. And so two things come out of being connected with Jesus: relationship and response, and a willingness to want to listen, but not just be listeners, but to be doers of that. And it's one thing to kind of believe something in our head, it's another actual something to actually live it as a lifestyle. And that's what my prayer is, that we really, really kind of get hold of this through this series and through this autumn, another level of kind of connectivity with God and living, flowing out of obedience with him. And so when we're learning about prophecy, When we're connecting with the Holy Spirit for guidance or whatever, it all stems out of having an active and a responsive relationship with Jesus. How many of you love Radio 4? It's great. Radio 4? There are some people here. I love Radio 4. It's my go-to channel on something called the radio. Henry, you may know what the radio is. And what really annoys me is that when I get outside Cambridgeshire in one of my cars, I lose reception. And suddenly it goes from being a clear voice to suddenly goes all fuzzy. And I've got to like, oh no, so I get whoever's driving me, can you scan in? So you had to go to manual scan. And we then have to then tune it in and to actually kind of reset back to kind of finding my beloved channel for Radio 4. And one thing that we're learning through this series is how can we tune into God in our lives? How can we get rid of all the background noise, all the busyness to connect in? And something that I've really enjoyed this week is just being able to engage with one or two of us in the fellowship to find out, how do you hear God? Like, how do you hear that? And one of the things that people keep saying to her, without coming back, was being still. Just finding that moment to try and hear God in that way. And so there's a difference between knowing it's important and living like it's important in our lives. And so it's been great hearing how some of you are just beginning to practice this 10 minutes a day of just waiting on the Holy Spirit and just saying, come Holy Spirit, and just dialing down into God, as it were. And I want to encourage us to do it. For me this week, I just wasn't really thinking about it particularly, but although I was intentionally doing it through the week, I just, when I look back, I just, to illustrate, I don't necessarily just sort of go into one particular prayer closet, but for me, this week of just doing that was, on Monday, yes, actually, it was actually part of a designated time of prayer that I was able to have on Monday morning, and just, oh God, I just steel myself before you. On Wednesday morning, it looked like me, I was sitting in Starbucks waiting for the car to be finished as MOT. And I was just sitting there with my coffee, and I just said, Lord, I'm just, come Holy Spirit, I'm waiting on you now. Friday, it looked like, as I walked to the shop, just before cooking the evening meal, I needed to get a couple of bits from the corner shop, it was waiting on God, just as I walked up the street. And I said, Lord, I'm just dialing down into you right now. And so it can look different for all of us in how we incorporate connecting into God, those key moments in our day that we find out and we can etch out those times. So this morning, in these couple of minutes, I want us to be thinking about, how can we learn to listen for God? And the main way that, as we've been encouraged today, that God speaks is, of course, through the Bible. And God speaks through his word to us. And it's where his voice has its ultimate authority. However, in the Bible, it's full of people hearing God and meeting with God in all kinds of different ways. And I don't think much has still changed. God still wants to interact with you, just like God spoke to a wandering nomad called Abraham, just like God spoke to Joseph in dreams, just like God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Not everybody's days, everyone's, you know, given experience, I'll give you that. But God did speak to Moses through that. Gideon through a fleece. That boy Samuel, just a voice in the night calling his name. And in the New Testament church, people being guided and given their marching orders through prophecy. God spoke to people in a whole different kind of way. And the key thing is that God wants to speak. God wants to speak to you. Right from Henry, right to Jane, right to Diane, right across to Noemi. Yeah, and even Jean. God wants to speak with us. How many of us like talking? How many of us like talking and being heard? That's always a treat for me. But how many of us actually like to sit and listen to other people? Are there any people on the planet? That's really great. Anya recently came home, and it was with no one in this room, or indeed this church. She came home from spending an evening with someone, went out for a drink with someone. And she came back and said, "Oh, did you have a good evening?" And she goes, "Yeah, it was all right. But this person just talked at me the whole night about their problems, and she never once asked me how I was doing." And so it was a kind of odd evening. And you sometimes think that maybe God feels like that about how we treat him sometimes. We walk into God, we blab out all our issues, we blab out everything, we're, you know, our things to do list, and then we're like, right, on with the day now. And God was like, I thought we might have a conversation. And God's inviting you to engage in a conversation. The truth is that a healthy relationship is a two-way conversation. And in prayer, God just doesn't want us to complain and whine, but he actually sometimes wants us to stop and to listen to allow him to speak to us. And it's encouraging that God is speaking. One of Jesus' names is the Word. In definition, that's a communication. Jesus is communicating. He is talking. And so the problem isn't on his end. The problem is our end, probably, that we are still learning how to hear him speaking to us. And the question for us this morning is, are we hearing God in our lives? And how can we? It's incredible, actually. We just heard this morning about this precious 20 pence piece. Jesus made a staggering statement in John 15. "I call you my friends. And everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you." Richard Branson tried to launch Virgin Coke, and it was a flop. Did anybody ever taste any of that Virgin Coke? Were there any fans in the room of Virgin Coke? It was all right. I'd wondered one reason why it flopped was that he hadn't had the family secret of the sacredly guarded original recipe of Coca-Cola, which made it the real thing. And it's like Jesus is coming to you today to say, "I want to share with you the secret family recipe that is going to make this thing really, really perfect." And he's wanting to share with you what's on his heart. And that's a beautiful thing. It's an astounding thing that Jesus was sharing here in this scripture. How did he do that? He did it through speaking, through sharing his life, through example. And it was a massive declaration. And he's saying, "I want to teach you. I want to coach you as my disciples," he's saying. Through other people, but also directly. He wants to have a coaching relationship with us in our walk with him. And I think sometimes we can fall into a danger of expecting that God will speak to us in one certain way. And we think, "God, you've got to talk to me like this." And that's what we're listening and looking out for. We get disappointed that we haven't heard God in this set way that I expect God to speak to me, when actually he's speaking to us in a whole myriad of other different ways, but we're just not recognizing or acknowledging that actually that's how God is trying to get our attention. And I've noticed that God wants to speak to us in so many different ways, because different people hear God speak to them in different ways. God takes account of your personality, of your nature, of how you're wired, how you tick. And he has this incredibly bespoke, particular relationship with you that is as unique as that 20 pence piece that we were showed earlier on. And so how can we hear God speaking to us? How can we discern his voice? And listening to a number of ways that you hear God, there was such a beautiful, rich, like, testimony of different experiences. And so first of all, I was encouraged that HSC hears God. And that was really, really great. I know no one answered, "No, don't." "Don't, it's not my thing." Actually, everybody was testifying that we're hearing God. And so these are some of the ways, the seven ways that I kind of then picked up out of what you were feeding back through some of your very kind things. And so the first thing I wanted to say was that God speaks in a whisper and not a shout. And 1 Kings 19:11-13, we remember when God was speaking to Elijah, and he wanted to get Elijah's attention, and he passed by the mouth of this cave, and there was a mighty storm that hit, and Elijah was like, oh, maybe God's speaking in that spectacular way, but God wasn't in that. And then there was a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was this earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. But and then there was this fire. And you think, God, you turned up to Moses in a fire. Surely you're going to speak to me through this fire. This is how you do it. And he was surprised that suddenly there was this sound of this gentle whisper. And it said he put his cloak on and he came to the edge of the cave. And he heard God's whisper in his heart. And a number of you said that I hear God through his still, small voice, just speaking, saying one or two words. And the more we get familiar with Jesus, the more we become sensitive to that whisper, and we begin to notice his promptings. Before we think, I never noticed his promptings, but now I'm beginning to notice some of those promptings, some of those whispers. It can just be a few words, or sometimes it can feel like a strong thought, but it gets our attention, and we feel it's God speaking to us. And so, just touching back on this whole idea of being still, of dialing down. Another way that we can hear God is by becoming still, and it's about his presence. Some of you talked about just when we come into times of worship, when we just connect into that sense of touching God's presence, that we hear God in those moments. Be still and know that I am God. And I just feel that this is what God wants to say to us today. If there's one thing that we could practice this week, is learning how to zone out the noise. And it's not actually just being in a quiet place, because you can be in a quiet place and the noise inside is booming. And we're so cluttered up with anxiety, with stress, with all this kind of stuff. And God says, no, just still. Be still. Still your heart. Still your inner world. Give up those anxieties. And I know this is basic stuff, guys, but it's sometimes the basic stuff that is so easy to forget, and we need to be reminded and to be invited back. It's not about having noisy hearts, it's about having quieted hearts before God. It's about that inner, developing that practice of inner attentiveness to God, resting and being with him. And so what we're kind of aiming for is becoming portable sanctuaries. So I'm the portable sanctuary of the heart, I think Mike Pivarchi talks about. The sense that we're a mobile sanctuaries, and there's this connection, this sense of connection with God in our hearts. And in learning how to dial down, practically, we can learn to still things down. And so, you know, as I said, for me on Monday, it was at home. Wednesday, it was a cup of coffee in my hand, you know, my notebook, my Bible out, and just listening and connecting. And we can do this in all sorts of places in our lives. But particularly just out of that place of worship, and where speaking in tongues can really quickly connect us into that place of stillness with God. And so that's why you can use that gift in your prayer life to quickly connect you in and to still your heart, because it connects us beyond our own thought. It connects our spirit to God, who is spirit. And so many of you talked about how you hear God through the Bible. And we shouldn't be surprised that God wants to speak to us through the Bible. It's his written word to us. And, you know, sometimes it's not always a big spiritual experience that you have reading the Bible. Sometimes you're reading a bit of a passage, and it's like something just strikes you as being significant. It's like, wow, that's for me right now. It's like it's become like the written word. It's become now the word, now word to me. And it's not that it's particularly more spiritual than another moment, but you just begin to feel enthusiastic about what God said to you. And you even might end up oddly wanting to share it with someone else. And so, and actually, if you didn't know, actually that's perhaps God speaking to you. You just thought it was, I got excited about something. Actually, I think that was God speaking to us. And we need to, we can then own it and then we can receive it for ourselves. Another way that God speaks to us is through connecting things up. So Crystal was telling me about that, that over the last 6 months, she's literally had these two words just coming into her mind saying, be still, which is quite interesting. She's like, be still, be still. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she read the Everyday Supernatural book and said there was a whole section on being still and why we need to be still. And she was like, I suddenly realized that that was God trying to speak to me about being still. And I know it sounds really obvious, but for her, we can get it, can't we? Like you hear a little kernel, God giving you a little something, and then you pick up a book. And you suddenly hear it for like, oh, I'm reading the same thing here. And then you're in another conversation, and suddenly someone else starts talking about it. And you think, ha ha, joining the dots. Someone's trying to get my attention on this. And that's often how God speaks to us. We keep bumping into his now message to us through different people, through the scripture, through different books. You've been watching a film, and suddenly there's a theme in the film that just connects into that thing that God was germinating in your heart. So God can join up the dots. And Mary just talks about the perfect times of God when we're trusting him to help us through difficult times. God just brings things across our paths that we needed to know to be assured on things at particular moments. And it just becomes clear that this is God getting our attention. Fifthly, dropping ideas into our thinking. God is the master of ideas. How did he manage to dream up creation? How did he manage to dream up the duck-billed platypus? You know, he has got incredible imagination. The imagination of God. And we can engage with God's ideas. And even for the party today, Jane Payne was just telling me that God just, well, she just got this kernel of this idea about, wouldn't it be great to throw a bit of a party for Jane and Jean? And over time, that began to grow, and it began to share it, and then it begins to witness with someone else, and then it begins to, you know, grow into a snowball of an idea, and it goes from an idea, and it becomes into an action. And we need to take those little ideas, those little imaginations that we might, oh, that might just be my prompting, say, God, actually, that might be you getting my attention to actually birth something that you want to do. And I would just say, be open to God's imagination, particularly if you're a kind of a, is it on the, personality thing, if you're a plant, an ideas person, God will often engage with you in the realm of your ideas, because you're thinking up them all the time, and one of them's got to be from God at some point. That's my thing. And we test it. Keith Eden was just telling me how years ago in this very church that him and his wife set up a drama group. Some of you might remember that. And it was just an idea. I'd love to do it. And then he came and shared it with Simon, the then pastor. And he was like, yeah, go for it. That sounds a really good idea. Go for it. And Keith was showing me that on their first performance, 7 people gave their lives to Jesus. And so God might be trying to get your attention through an idea. Take it seriously. Take it boldly and test it. And then sixthly, God can speak to us through the visual. I just love this phrase that was shared with me this week. God is the God of the visual as well as the conversation. Some of us work more visually than we do numerically, for sure. Some of you work really strongly through numbers. Things make sense logically to you. That must be God at the end of your conclusion you come to. Other of us work really pictorially, and God engages with you on that level. And so Gemma Gray was telling me that, you know, God often speaks to her through a picture and visually. There we go. Yeah, God can speak to us visually. And again, I just loved something that Uju just shared. She was saying that, yeah, you know, the bedrock, God speaks through his scripture to us and through times of worship. But sometimes in the busyness of the week, you don't always get like, you know, an hour to be able to spend, you know, reading your Bible. But God gets our attention through other means, like, you know, seeing something in our world that suddenly like reminds us of God, or he drops a picture into our mind. Or like Bobby said this morning, you know, there was this, you know, remarkable little moment with this 20p piece. Am I saying 20 pence means? I just thought it looked really small. But that was probably my eyesight, and that's probably how far I was from it. But that was actually a 50 pence piece. On this recording, if you heard me talk about the 20p piece this morning, it is actually a 50p piece. And that 50p piece, you know, it began, there was a message that God wanted to give to Bobby through that. And it's that contemplative, attentive heart that was open to see God speaking through that. You can develop that sense as well. And so God can speak to us through that. And then really coming into land, God also speaks to us so often through other people. And this is where you get to be a delivery person, a messenger for God, for someone else. And something that I'm really enjoying at the moment is timely texting. And the proverb, Proverb 15:23 says, "A word in season, how good it is." And, you know, I was just sitting there in Starbucks on Wednesday, and I was idling and thinking, and I just had this, just kind of thinking on this line, and thought, I just felt like, I need to just send an encouragement to Uju. So I was like, right, okay, well, Lord, and I had this whole thing about this little bit of encouragement for her, and it wasn't necessarily dynamic, it could be quite general, but something that is quite general, if it comes right at the moment, at the right time, it can be like, wow, God, that's you speaking to me. And so I just brushed it across, and I thought, to be honest, it was nice enough that even if it wasn't from God, it would generally be quite encouraging. And so that really comes back to what we were learning last week, all about prophecy, wasn't it? It's for encouragement, it's for building up, etc. But I would say use texting, use different ways just to pop someone a note of just encouragement, because you never know what God will just give you in that moment will be like directly for that person. I was like, I needed to, and so often people come back and say, I needed to know that today. That was exactly what I needed for today. That was like God's encouragement to me. And how many of you got a phone? Great. How many of you got a texting facility on there? You, dynamic technology. You can all text an encouragement this week. Well, have a go, and it could be really, really good. And words of knowledge, we learned about prophecy last week. Just to say, words of knowledge are similar to prophecy, but as John Wimber says, as the Bible says, we have gifts of knowledge, we also have a gift of wisdom. So wisdom is knowing what to do with the bit of information God's given you, because it's not always right just to go and blurt it out. I have done this in my life, and it actually became more destructive for the situation than good. And God was just saying, why did you have to go and blab that out? I just was giving you that information to pray for that person. Or how do you want me to share this? You know, sometimes we say, God, I feel like you've given me this for this person, but can you give me, often I ask God for handles, can you give an opportunity that something comes up with that person that it would just be right to share that into? And we need wisdom as well as knowledge. Knowledge in the wrong hands can be very dangerous, we know. And so this is what John Wimber says about the gift of the word of knowledge. It's the supernatural revelation of a fact about a person or a situation which is not learned. There's no way you can know it. But it's a fragment of knowledge that God has freely given to you as an encouragement and an affirmation of his love for someone else. And so Claudette shared an example, like, somewhere back in the context of a small group. Someone prayed for her, shared something with her, and it was just unpacking a situation that she knew that person could never, ever know about what she was going through. And for her, it was like, oh my goodness, God, you know me, and you know what was going on in the situation, and you are affirming me in this situation. And maybe some guidance can be connected to that as well. And that could be so, so powerful. And so be open to God giving you words of knowledge, insight. And that could be in the realm of, you know, healing, or God can give you an impression of a symptom that God wants to heal in someone's life that's really specific. It could be about a specific situation. And I would just say, let's practice listening to God about that. Now, the problem is that the only way that we will know whether it was right or not, I'm afraid, is to give it a go. And it's not until you talk it out that you know whether it was right or not. There's no other way. And so just so I share this in closing, Mike Pilavachi was referring to an account when he was exercising this gift for the first time, and someone said, right, you're coming with me to this meeting, and God's going to use you, you know, to minister. So he was like, I don't feel spiritual enough. And he said, all he got was the ABBA song, The Dancing Queen. And he said, all he got in his head. And he's like, what am I meant to do with that, God? And then there was this vicar and his wife that had come out to be prayed for. And this guy he was with said, right, Mike, prophesy. I know, share what's God given you for these people. And he's like, the dancing queen, da-da-da-da-da. He's like, what do I do with that? So anyway, he then had the courage to say to the vicar's wife, he felt that was for, is God's just given me that ABBA song, The Dancing Queen. And God just wanted, and as he began to talk it out, he was like, this is God saying to you that he has made you like a dancing queen. And she just began, I think she probably began to weep a little bit, and she said, you don't know. But maybe several weeks ago, a short time ago, I started a dance group in our church. And she said, on the way here, me and my husband were talking, and I thought, what was a stupid thing to do? Why did I start that group? It's not going anywhere. I think I'm going to close it. And she said, you coming tonight, bringing this, has just affirmed that I'm absolutely on track. And there are some other things that God gave him in it. And it's like affirming, this is what I should be doing it. He thought, what is God going to speak to? You know, why, that can't be me. That's just in my imagination. But he dared to step out and dared to share it. And do you know what? It's as normal as that. It's as normal as that. And I would like us, right, this week, to really experiment with this and ask God to give you something for next Sunday. Because next Sunday, we're going to be learning about the gift of healing. And we're going to have a time of praying for one another next Sunday. And it could be that during the week, God just gives you, it drops into your mind, it could be a condition that he wants to heal, it could just be a word of encouragement for someone, it could be the song title of a random song, and you think, God, what is this? But whatever God gives you, bring it next Sunday, and let's have a go. The worst thing is that we just got reminded about a great ABBA song. Okay, that's the worst thing that could have happened. And sometimes God gives us something and actually for the moment it's not right, but it's like, okay, I'll receive that, I'll take it away, I'll test it, and I'll take the dancing queen away with me, and I'll just see if God's going to speak to me through it in coming weeks. Nothing's lost, okay? And we can all make mistakes, it's okay. You know. And I've made so many mistakes in this over the years, but that's how we grow, because sometimes I've got it right, and you think, God, I could do it again. And you grow, it's like a muscle, Ruth said, and we can grow in it. So, Lord, we want to thank you that you speak. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, Lord, you want a relationship with us. And God, I thank you that we can be an active community that is flowing in you and listening to you, connected with you, and giving away your good news to one another and to other people. And I thank you, Father, for encouraging us this morning that we can hear your voice. This week, we thank you that we're going to hear you speaking to us. And Lord, may we be responsive to know what you do, what we do with that when we hear you. And may we act on it, Lord, this week, we pray. And Lord, we want to thank you for what you're going to do among us next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.